Am I on now? Okay. Have you ever noticed the deep theology in these Christmas carols? I mean, we just say, but just you follow the words and it's like, oh my gosh, it's like reading the Bible. I mean, it's like, anyway, it's fascinating, fascinating. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can come here this morning, you know, the day after we had a Christmas celebrating the Lord's birth, and just thank you for the New Year's Eve, new Christmas Eve, okay, I'm with you, the Christmas Eve service, thank you for that, and just the families that could come, and what a joy that was, and I pray everybody had a good Christmas, and look forward as they have maybe some time off and rest, and enjoy just the things that we have received from God, contemplating on that, and so we just thank you, God. So we give all things to you. And so I pray this morning, Lord, as we continue to look to you and see the upcoming year, that we'd be able to focus on you and the Spirit and be encouraged and be excited because of you, not the things around us, but because of you and that you're doing great things. I pray you'd anoint me. I'd only speak words of the Spirit. And I pray you'd open each heart to hear what you have to say. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I want you to turn this morning, okay, to 1 John, okay? 1 John. For you, that's towards the back. So you're in the Bible. It's towards the back, okay? 1 John. And I'd really like you to turn there, 1 John, because, you know, this is one you should put, you know, if you have a phone or iPad, you should put a, you know, check mark there, you know, bookmark there or something. It's one you should be able to go to quickly and meditate on. It's a powerful verse. Okay, you there? 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. And it says this, and this is the confidence we have towards Jesus. It says towards him, towards Jesus or towards God. So, and in this is the confidence we have towards Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that Jesus hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Now, let me summarize, is that you, we all believe in the inspiration of Scripture. Amen? We have a closer, raise your hand. And if you don't, that's okay. All right. We believe in the inspiration of Scripture, all right? Therefore, we believe this. Amen? We believe this, because you just bought in when you said you believed it. And not only do you believe this, you believe God breathed it. God breathed it. We believe it. We believe God breathed it. And as my old friend Bill Wright used to say, now you are accountable. That's like, I mean, he always encouraged us to read the Bible, but sometimes I talk to him and I don't know if I'm going to read it or not. Oh my gosh. Because he'd always end. He'd share with me. He loved to share with me and then end it. Now you are accountable. It's like, okay, okay. But, so you guys are kind of accountable right now, okay? I am, okay. So, let me summarize what this verse says. The breathed out word of God, what the breathed out word of God says to believers. First, it's just a summary. One, ask anything. Now, does that about cover everything? He said, ask anything. Then he says this, Jesus hears us. God, you're not listening. I've been listening, you know. It's like, no. Ask anything, Jesus hears us. What does he hear? Whatever we ask. I mean, we're covering stuff right now, aren't we? It's covering whatever we ask. Ask anything, Jesus hears us. Whatever we ask, we have the request that we have asked of him. And all God's people said, man. That's what it says. That's what it says. How many of you believe John 3:16? For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, we have eternal life. Amen? And we know we're going to heaven. Honestly, believe that with all your heart that you're going to heaven. Okay? Then you got to believe this. And if you don't believe this, there's a real question whether you believe John 3:16, that you believe on him, have everlasting life, and go to heaven. If you do not believe this, there's a real question whether you believe John 3:16. All right? Same book. Same book. By the way, just to drive home the point, the Apostle John wrote John 3:16 and 1 John. So, the guys, I believed half of what you said, John. The other half is shaky. It's like, let's just use the reverse. No, you got to believe. Because it's like, I don't know if God hears. I don't know if he's going to answer my prayer. Anything. I just don't know. And then you go into heaven. Oh, yes, I'm positive. You ever seen anybody in heaven? You ever seen anybody go to heaven? You ever seen it happen? No. But I believe, You see where I'm coming from? If you believe one, you got to believe the other. It's just the way it is. And by the way, it's just a little insight. That's the way I look. Personally, that's the way I look at the Bible. Anything I read in the Bible, it's like, no, it's true. Now, I may not understand it, but I know it's true. Absolutely true. And I know in time, whatever, what I don't understand, he's going to prove is truth. And so that's how I look at everything. And sometimes, like, I'm going to come and share a message with y'all. It's like, oh, my gosh, this is really powerful what God says. And I'm not living one part of it. And I'm going to share with the folks that they ought to, and I'm not. It's like, Lordy be. And so I said, well, this says, look at the Scripture and read the Scripture. And I believe the Scripture, and I know you believe the Scripture. I just forget to tell you that I ain't living one part of this, but I'm working on it. You're with me? Because that's what it says. And I'm totally convinced that's what it says. That's going to be, that's a fact that I stand on. God breathed out every word in the Bible. So that's my basis. That's my basis. Well, and then so we're just coming back. The reason I'm sharing that, because we come back to these verses. When you look at what they say, you got to go, oh, wow. Wow. And the words like, what are you supposed to ask? Anything. Not a, well, this, maybe not. Anything. God, I know you're busy, and you know if you have a chance, can you kind of dial in? I got this. No, he hears us as soon as we ask anything. Well, anything, and he hears us. But what anything? Whatever you ask. Whatever. You're kind of making a point. Almost repetitious, right? And it's like, well, if that's true, what is it? We have the request that we have asked him. Well, let me give you three reasons why God may not seem to answer your prayers. Most people you listen to they preach on prayers, they'll always tell you that. Well, there's this and that, and God is saying no, and there's possibilities, like that. And so they give you these qualifiers. The funny thing is, and this is fascinating, when you read the Bible, they don't give you any qualifiers. None. Absolutely. There is none here. It's like, okay, God, I believe the whole thing. But I just don't know if I'm living it, but I believe what you say. I knew the issues with me. Okay. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay. So you read it, and you go, oh, my goodness. This kind of changes my life. This changes my life right here. Now, I want to touch on something here, because what it says here, when we pray to Jesus, it's important to know Jesus' purpose. You know, it's important to know. We read the Bible and say, oh, this is what Jesus wants. So that helps us to pray. And when we learn to want what Jesus wants, we have the joy of receiving his answer to our prayers. I mean, it's just like, hey, you just love Jesus. Well, you know me, you know what I want. So we have a relationship. You're married to your spouse, you know, and I'm going to pray something that's just going to drive him nuts. You know, well, no, you don't pray like that. You know what I mean? You're kind of walking together in here on this, you know. And so, so we know that is true. However, I'm going to put a big however. Don't make it more complicated than it is. I mean, it says ask anything. Well, I don't know. May not this, may not that, may not that. It's just like God's going up there. I'm ready to believe. I'm ready to blow fire out my nose and nostril, smoke out my nostrils. But he said, I'm choking to death on your prayer. You put so many caveats on me, you know, and you don't know nothing. That was my bad day. Okay, so don't make this thing more, don't make prayer more complicated than it is, all right? And we need to know through Jesus, God and us are moving in the same sphere. See? We came to know Jesus, we have a relationship, and now God and us are moving in the same sphere. We're not over here. We're moving. Now, he's teaching us all that, but we're moving in the same sphere. All right? We receive Christ. Now, so we pray, and God hears. So, oh, I'm going to get this big theological prayer. No. Just pray and ask, and he hears. You want to hear a good prayer? Here's a good prayer. Dear God, keep my kids out of jail. I mean, that's a good prayer, and that's his will. Now, you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, well, I don't know. They've been rotten since they're 2 years old, and they may deserve this. No. Give me another shot, God. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Don't complicate the thing. You go before God and just pray, you know? And it's like, you know what? It's his will to keep your kids out of jail. He ever tell you? You got a bad one. They're going to jail. Predestined. He didn't do that. He didn't know. He said, come on. Give some help to the little guy or a little girl, and we'll keep them out of jail, and they're going to serve me. Anyway, but that's what I'm saying. Don't complicate this. Don't really do not complicate, because it's not complicated in the Bible. In fact, it's really amazing. Like I said, there's no caveats to this thing. You know, well, should I pray if he's will? He was speeding. You know, he did hit a tree. No. I said, what'd you pray? Yeah, he did it. All right, here we go again. God! You know, just uncomplicate the thing. You know, with me? Don't complicate it. Don't give God caveats. You know, he didn't ask caveats. I mean, it's not in the scripture. Over and over again, he says, ask anything. I mean, they had a list of verses. I looked at one commentary. It's like, this long, the New Testament verses, ask anything, or deviations from that, with no caveats. See? So, anyway, it's to motivate us. And if anybody's whispering in your ear, do you think God's going to do that? Well, Satan, that's what he'd do, because he doesn't want you to pray. Pastor Milliken said, when the weakest Christian gets on his knees, Satan trembles in fear. Now, do you think he said some good prayers? He get on his knees and said, oh, man, he's scooting out of here, you know. Last thing he wants to see me is on my knees. See, anyway, so you have that. You know, and another good prayer, you know, it's like, dear God, your kids, you know, if you have 16-year-olds and come, so they drive off for the first time in the car. Here's a good prayer. Oh, dear God, put angels all around their car. All over, dear God, cover their car with angels. It's a good prayer, you know. It's a good prayer, you know. And it's one all of you should probably start practicing. Anyway, so, but that's a good prayer. Don't just, see, and we think, you know, we think that, you know, Jesus does not have, now listen, Jesus does not have some mysterious will we can't figure out. He didn't. It's not like, oh, man, I got to read the scripture and study more and memorize so I know how to pray. God goes, no. What are you saying? I mean, it's good. You all know. But no. He says, I don't have some mysterious. You're going to have in your heart prompted. And geez, that's what you are to pray. Right there. That's what you are. You pray it then. You know, don't try to, you know, fit some theological whatever. No, just come to me. See, God is not looking for some theological correctness when you pray. He's looking for your heart. He's looking for your heart. Come on, just come to me. Come to me. You know, it's like, and that's what Jesus prayed. And that's what Jesus said, you know. And that's what Jesus introduced. That's what Jesus introduced. Now, here's this. The assurance for approaching God and asking Him anything is absolute. No caveats. In the scripture, asking Him anything is absolute without any caveats. Like I say, they're not in the Bible. People tell you this stuff because, you know, I can say, you know, you can pray, but He might say no. How many times have you heard that? That is not in the Bible. But you know why I pray that? Because He ain't answering my prayer, you know? And so I'm feeling bad, and I want y'all to just, you know, not take this too serious and not be disappointed. Well, God doesn't talk like that. The Bible doesn't talk like that. He's not asking anything. Ask anything, and it's absolute. And we know because Jesus, and listen to this, because Jesus has made our request His own. Think about that. He has made our request His own. It's, oh, well, here's what I was praying again. Okay, we'll listen, we'll see if we work this out. He hears me pray, and it's like, I make it my own. I ask, done deal. Because He made it His own. That's why we pray through Jesus in Jesus' name. He makes it His own. See? Then it has to happen because it becomes His will, because He made our prayer His own. Y'all with me? I mean, and this is what the Bible said. And not just here. I mean, this is a great verse in here, but it says it all through the scripture. And in John, you know, John wrote 1 John. He wrote Gospel of John, and he says it several times in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John's. So you see this, and you think, oh my gosh, this dynamic that's happening when we say something is greater than we're perceiving. It's greater than we're perceiving, okay? And you go to the scripture, oh, I pray, and God can ask. No, do you not really understand what I'm saying? Jesus just made your prayer His own. And since it's His, it's going to happen. We have a connection with God through Jesus. We move in the same sphere as God. As God. Now, once we pray, we're required to believe and then decide to live accordingly. Now, think about that. I pray. Okay, whatever. 2 weeks later. Come on, guy. Giving you 2 weeks. Nothing happened. 2 weeks. You know, it's like 3 weeks. You know, I just forget this stuff. I'm just going on. You're not. That's not living accordingly. You know? Because He did. I put this timetable on. 3 weeks. Oh, I'm done. I just go off and pray another prayer. And I'll stand in this one 3 weeks. You know, and so it's like the whole focus here, once we pray, then we decide to live in it as if he heard it, made it His own, and it's bringing it about. We start living it before it happens. Are you with me? Start living it before it happens. Jesus said in Mark, it's amazing how consistent Jesus is. He says in Mark, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, what do you ask in prayer? Whatever. I mean, okay, here's the top 10 things you can ask. No, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Come on, Jesus. I mean, it's like, no, I hurt you. I made it my own. I made it my own. I made your prayer my own. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. He sounds like, Jesus sounds like John. Or I should say, John sounds like Jesus. But you see what it's saying? But do you see what the scripture is saying? Say, Wallace, why do you believe that? Because I believe John 3:16. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, whoever shall believe in him has eternal life. You believe this? I don't know about this. God, that's this. I believe the heaven stuff, and I'll get up there, and we'll be rosy. But things ain't working good here. It's like, well, then you, if you say that, you really don't believe John 3:16. Down deep, you really don't. I mean, you're going to die anyway, and it's a better thought to go to heaven than hell. And it's like, okay, I'll just, you can't get out of it. See? He said, no, if you believe it, you believe this. Amen. You see what he's saying here? So it's like, oh my goodness, God cares for us and hears. God cares for us and hears. Listen to what it says in Psalms 91, verses 14 through 15. Again, here's God being consistent again. Psalms 91, 14 through 15. And God is speaking. It's, he wrote the Bible, so he's speaking. Because this person holds me fast in love. Okay, what are we supposed to do? I mean, that tells you a bunch right there. Our attitude towards God. What is our attitude towards God? Right there. What is it? You hold him fast in love. Because he holds me fast in love, I will deliver him. Why? So love him. I'll deliver you. You love me, I deliver you. I will protect him. I will protect him. Because he reads his Bible every day and memorizes all this scripture. No, I will protect him because he knows my name. Dear Fred, answer my prayer. We don't know his name. He goes, that ain't my name. My name's not Fred. You know? Well, dear XYZ God, that's not my name. See? So, I will protect him because he knows my name. He knows my name. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. He knows my name. A lot of people don't know Jesus' name in quality and who he is as God. Then he says this, when he therefore loves me, protecting, knows my name, when he calls to me, I will answer him. There it is. Well, what is the criteria? You love me. Do you know my name? You know, other stuff's going to fall into place. Then it says, I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. That's in Psalms. See, as people know his name, call out to God, he will answer us. And above all, I don't know why this one just jumps out of me, above all, he will honor us. When we pray, I'll answer. He goes, no, I'm going to honor you. Why is he honoring us? Because we know his name and we call out to him. He says, I'm going to honor you for doing that. I'm going to honor you. Doesn't that have kind of a different feel to it? I'm going to honor you. Why? Because he loves me and he knows my name. I'll honor him. I'll honor him. See, it's like, no, he loves me. These are my people. I honor them because they're my people. They're my people. Now, we possess the requests we have made the moment we have prayed. Hear that? We possess the request we have made the moment we have prayed. And it's like, well, nothing's changed. I don't see anything changed. You remember 2 weeks ago? We pray, fire comes out his mouth and smoke out his nostril. We have the request the moment we pray. He moves. Well, nothing happened here. You know, it's like, okay, I'm working some issues here. So, anyway, so you see this. When we pray, the realization of our prayer has already begun. God, I give you 24 hours. You don't do this. I'm done. Well, come on. I'm doing it. I started. You know, it's like, and I'm moving heaven and earth, and I'm working all the issues, and I'm answering this prayer right now. When we have asked in faith, no matter what it is, that is God's will for us. Did you hear what I said? And some, wait. No, that doesn't line up with my caveats that you have when you pray. Man, it's the time and not right. And, you know, he said, no. When we have asked in faith, no matter what it is, that is God's will for us. What is God's will for us? What you just ask. Because you're walking with the Lord, you're looking to Him, and you're speaking with Him. And Jesus will take our request as His own and have it happen. What we ask becomes God's will for us. Now, do you see Satan saying, well, maybe you know. You know, it may, you know, time. It may be, you know. That's just not what the Bible says. Now, I'll tell you, you know, this. There's one prayer, and when I first came from the Lord, I remember this one prayer, and I didn't know anything. I mean, there's a benefit. It really is a benefit never to be church, read the Bible, get saved, because you don't know nothing, you know? You're not confused by anybody. You know, I wasn't confused for any religion because I had none, so I just read the Bible. And so I didn't know how to pray. It never told me to get on my knees and pray, so I just walk around outside. You know, like that, and pray. And I remember this one situation that's big for me, and I pray, God, this is what I want you to do. This, I'm just talking, know nothing except Jesus, and pray. You know, and I look back, and I say, oh, my God, in heaven, I'm glad He didn't do that. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, I saw it. You know, I saw it. And, I mean, He's looking at that. Oh, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you know, it's kind of like your two-year-old says, Mama, give me car keys. You know, it's, I mean, you don't even have the capacity to talk to me. And okay, let's just goo-goo-ga-ga for a while and I'll bring you in here. But anyway, so there's no doubt that the Lord says, okay, we're going to have to work through this. And, I finally got the car keys and, you know, I could drive. But, so I'm just saying it. But that, I don't mean that as a caveat. Well, it's not, He doesn't tell us to worry about the caveats. He doesn't. Not in Scripture. He says, you ask anything in my name. Okay, we possess the request we made. You know, no matter what it is, it becomes God's will for us because we ask it and He made His own. Now, this whole thing is to press us into prayer and what's happening. Now, there's lessons in their teaching, but He will do it. You're not going to read it in the Scripture. Sometimes I don't do it. Oh, I'll be late. He didn't say it. He never said, sometimes I say no. He just didn't say it. You know, we're just trying to figure out when things aren't working for us, when they're not working for us at all. So, not only is this is the uniform testimony in the entire New Testament. There's over a dozen verses. Same thing. It says the same thing. Now, the biggest picture, the best picture that we have of this is when the angel Gabriel's statement to Daniel. Daniel had been praying for 3 weeks, and, you know, and Daniel and Gabriel shows up. But look at what he says. After 3 weeks, when he shows up, this is what Gabriel said. And this is the most descriptive picture we have. So Gabriel says to Daniel, 3 weeks after he'd been praying, 3 weeks, he says, from the first day, from what day? From the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words were heard. That's when he moved, the first day. Lord, I'm in here, this nutty king, and just these people are going crazy. And it's like, what are you doing? Well, right now I'm fighting Satan. I can't whip this guy, and I'm calling on Michael to come and whip me so I can come get there. Michael came in there and took him out, and now I could come. It just, you know, ran into some issues, but we worked it. We've been working it. You moved Satan out of the whole picture by asking us to come and help. Oh, he didn't tell him that. Well, he did tell him that, actually. He said, I fought the prince of Persia, and it slowed me up. But when did God start answering the prayer? First day. Fascinating. Okay, and this, I know this is a God-anointed message. You know why I know that? Because I'm going to be done early. It's like, when I get mad to my own stories and stuff like that, it just goes on and on and on. You know, I stick to what God says, and it goes pretty quick. Anyway, so what we want to know here, what we want to know is our prayers are heard. I mean, God, they're heard. They're heard. And this is, it's funny, I've heard people that say different things, but what do I see in the scripture, the way I understand it, God moves because of our prayers. God moves because of our prayers. Now, I know in some circles, believe different, but I'm apt, when I read the scripture, that's what I see. I see it. What did Gabriel say to Daniel? First day. You humbly say, we moved. And they moved because of his prayers. I think that's just obvious to me, okay? God moves because of our prayers. Now again, he moves because of our prayers because he takes them on himself. And he is the one who answers. And our prayers become his will because he takes them and works on our behalf. That's the truth of Scripture. That's the Scripture. Okay, well, here's the list of caveats. Let God, if there's a caveat, let God do it. And give him more than 2 weeks. I mean, gee whiz. You know, Pastor Milliken. I always said, you know, older I get, the more I see how wise he was. And he just simple things. And I've shared with you. He goes, listen, okay, pray. Oh, say, I pray. Hallelujah, pray. And he goes, pray it all the way through. Always said it. Pray it all the way through. You don't know what's happening. Pray it all the way through. See? Well, that's what this is saying. You know, because stuff's happening. And, you know, I gave a whole message of stuff's happening. He goes, yeah, it's happening. Just pray it all the way through. He just kind of cut, you know, just do, you know, pray it all the way through. God moves because of our prayers. Now, we learned from the previous message on December 9th, these two really complement, I didn't mean this to do it, but they really complement each other. And not only are our prayers heard immediately, and immediately begun to be answered, but also the full power of God moves with holy passion. Because it's his prayer, right? He moves with holy passion, because now it's his. He took it. He moves with holy passion. And so when we pray, God moves immediately in power. Okay, I'm going to wrap the whole thing up here, just a quick summary of what we started off. But we need to think about it, you know, and this is how that verse goes in 1 John 5:14-15. It just, here's a summary of it. He says it. This is where he starts in his own prayer. He goes, have confidence. That's where you start. Have confidence. Because of what the message, what you just said, have confidence. Wow. I mean, you say it, I hear it, and I'm moving. Your prayers become mine, and I move and resolve them. And I move because of your prayer. Have confidence. What's not confidence? Well, you say it, and you can't make God move, and, you know, you don't do that. You just praise him, and, you know, like that, and, you know, sometimes he says, well, who wants to pray and all that nonsense, you know? But when you read what God says, oh, man, have confidence. Hurry, I'm moving. It's happening. And it's happening right now. You will say anything, it's happening. It is happening right now. So, first thing is have confidence. You need to just kind of flow over that. Oh, have confidence. No, that's huge. That's huge. Have confidence. Ask anything. Well, I don't know if I should ask that. Ask it. It came. What are you talking? You don't know if you should ask. Ask anything. Why? Because God hears us. Well, he's too busy. My mother used to always say that. He's too busy. I said, I don't think he's that busy. Okay. She'd always, well, he's just too busy to hear my prayer. I said, he's got other things to do. I said, well, he does have other things to do, but he'll hear your prayer. Have confidence. Ask anything. God hears us. What does he hear? Whatever we ask. What does Satan want us to do? Don't ask. Don't ask. Because, you know, he's busy or whatever, you know. Have confidence. Ask anything. God hears whatever we ask. And the Holy Bible says we have the request we ask of him. It's what it says. It's what it says. We believe John 3:16. Then we need to believe we have the request we ask. Same scripture. Can't pick and choose. One is as true as the other. Can't pick and choose. And if you pick one over the other and don't believe the other, you don't really believe either one of them. God breathed. Except this verse. He didn't breathe that. Well, no. No. He breathed the whole thing. He breathed the whole thing. Now, so we have that, and I hope you're encouraged to pray. It's just like, oh my gosh, there's stuff happening. Stuff happening. Why? Because we ask God. Not because we're so great. Well, you know, you need to go to a seminary and study all this doctrine, and then you can pray. I'm going to share something with you. I mean, we're all friends, so I can share this. I have never seen, I'm going to use the word never, and just my limit, I've never seen an on fire, passionate theological professor. Never. Never, not one. In fact, I've seen on fire people go to seminary and come back as dull as a bad knife. I've had it. I even talked to one guy that I had some respect for, and he agreed to me. He came out of seminary, he's a neat guy, but he agreed with me. He said, yeah, that's an issue. Yeah, it's an issue. I mean, like, why do you get wrapped in the theology and you know no relationship? You see what I mean? You're wrapped in theology. You're wrapped in theology. And a relationship with God is not theology, it's a relationship. And he said, okay, since you got this relationship, I got a bunch of stuff I can tell you if you want to know. You know, I said, oh, wow, that's the coolest thing I ever think. He said, I got you. You know, see, that's the difference. But if you get to God through theology, I personally just haven't seen any passion. I've seen smart people really say smart things, and that's good. I mean, that's not a bad, but I haven't personally seen any passion. Did you know, with one exception, and you talk of great revivals, we've had great, you know, in the U.S. and stuff, you can read about them like that. None of them broke out in a seminary. No, there ain't no revival in the seminary. You just look, I mean, you can look that up. There's no revival. Now, I'm going to say one place, there was one, you know, and where it, that it broke out, okay, and like that. But you know what the funny thing about? It broke out among the students. Not the professors. It's the students. That revival go, I want to speak to all God's people. You know, he didn't talk to the professors. He went to the students, and there's a big revival broke out. One. So I know that, but the professors weren't part of it. Now, you go see, somebody's going to call me, listen, I love Jesus. Who are you telling me? I just my personal experience. I'm sure there's a professor that loves. And I'm not saying love Jesus. People, you come to Christ, and you everybody come to Christ, you love Jesus. But I'm talking revival, passionate, break out in the power of God and see God move. My history, as old as I am, no one. But again, the one broke out with the students. They didn't know enough to quench it. I better just move on. Okay, this is life. All right, but here's the thing. And listen, this is meant to encourage you to pray and stuff, but we have to end with this. You know, our main confidence is we know his name. That's the main confidence. His name is Jesus. Now, that is our main confidence. And if we don't have that, we won't have anything. So our main confidence is we know his name, and we know his name is Jesus. And so in the same book of 1 John, it says this, 1 John 3:5. I mean, it's the same. This is all John. 1 John 3:5. Confidence. We know his name is Jesus. And it says this. You know. See, isn't that interesting? He's writing to us. You know that Jesus appeared in order to take away sins. And in Jesus, there is no sin. We know his name. That's what makes the difference. We know his name. Amen? Hallelujah. It's 5 to 11. Everybody said, hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. And Lord, we do want to praise your name, and we thank you so much for your goodness and what you teach us. And we do, again, want to thank you for just the Christmas season and so many family here, and we can enjoy that. And just pray a continued blessing on everyone, God. I really do. And God, I always want to honor you and your goodness. And you do reveal things to her in the scripture to us that we would never know. I mean, and it pushes us to the edge. We would never go if you didn't tell us. And so I just pray for each one of us, me included, that we would have a confidence in prayer. Confidence that you hear. Confidence that you move immediately. Confidence we can ask anything. And whatever we ask, we have the request we ask of you. Dear God, thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.